Hello, I'm Bill Hancock, founder and CEO of Faithbridge Foster Care. We've produced these podcasts for you, and we hope that you'll enjoy them. We designed them to be informational, inspirational, and we hope directional for you and your family as you continue the journey of Christian foster care ministry. Let me get a little bit of a background.
Yep.
With you, Ryan, and you're here at Stone Creek Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. Can you tell a little bit about the church and kind of a little bit about what's going on here at the church?
Yeah, Stone Creek has been around since 2000, and it was out of Alpharetta Community Center. So we formed Johnson Ferry helped us get a start back in 2000, and we've been in this building since 2004.
It's a great facility.
We love it. Blessed.
Beautiful.
Just we have 51 acres here in the middle of Milton, and it's just a great place to be. And it's kind of an oasis in the middle of the asphalt jungle, so to speak.
Yeah.
So we're really blessed to be here. But we've really had a heart for one of our first ministry partnerships, so to speak, has been with Compassion International.
Mm-hmm.
And that was birthed out of our lead pastor, Ken Murphy.
Yeah.
He had a esophageal disease that caused him to have some issues with eating, hunger issues.
Yeah.
And so for the first time in his life, he knew what it felt like to be hungry.
Mm.
And with that, he saw it. He knew that there was something for him, but possibly also for Stone Creek.
Mm.
Being a leader here in the church, hey, there's something for us to seek out. I now know what it's like to be hungry. There are millions of children in the world that are hungry.
Mm.
So it sought him. It led him to seek out Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Formed a partnership. We now have approximately 700 children sponsored in our church for a church of roughly 1,500 people.
Wow!
So nearly half of our people. Are in some cases we have families that are sponsoring two and three children.
Right.
So God typically births things out of personal experience.
Right.
So that's kind of our mission story. We've been very narrow.
Yeah.
Very narrow in focus.
Right.
But we feel like whatever we want to do, we want to do it really well. We're not going to take the shotgun approach and
right.
Have hundreds of programs and do hundreds of programs halfway. We want to do a few programs really well.
Wow, that really speaks to leadership focus. And I also hear you saying that out of a personal experience of one of the pastors, that personal experience has become a huge influence in the body. That's a pretty significant penetration when you think about how many children are sponsored in
roughly 700.
700 out of a 1,500 member church.
Yeah.
That is a significant leverage of pastoral influence. And I think it speaks to the issue today, really, about the role of pastors and in stewardship of their influence.
Yeah.
And when you think about the orphan movement that's going on, and to hear a church that's engaged in Compassion International and the millions of orphans around the world. And what we're experiencing today in the U.S. is that the global orphan movement has come home. It's come to the U.S. And the awareness of the movement in the U.S. and the awareness of orphan, and I would call it even orphanism,
mm-hmm.
To the point where we really are as a church beginning to realize that, wait a minute, the orphans around the world, but there are literally 500,000 children in a national foster care system that today do not have parents that are providing safe, stable, nurturing food, health care, supervision. There's 500,000 children that don't have their basic needs met right here in the U.S., right here in the state of Georgia, right here in Milton.
Right.
And when you think about the stewardship of influence and the orphan movement coming home, where do you see, as a pastor and as a leader, where do you see the church's role in being the solution to the U.S. foster care orphan problem?
Yeah, I think traditionally, and probably not recent years, because as the movement has moved closer to home, mm-hmm. traditionally we've seen the opportunity to go mm-hmm. maybe overseas, go into another country, go mm-hmm. into places, mm-hmm. and it's almost been easier for us to go, to send people,
right.
short-term mission trips, let's go to another place. It's kind of like it's easier for me to go into a neighborhood where nobody knows me, and it's a lot harder to walk across the street to talk to my neighbor. They know me a lot better.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about bringing the orphan movement, so to speak,
right.
here, it's really in our back door. It's around us. It's
it really
in our neighborhoods.
Is.
It's people that we know. It's surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a lot more tangible because it's here. It's among us. And so I think our responsibility, because it's here, is one of... well, first of all, it's scriptural.
Right. There's a biblical...
There's a biblical mandate
there's
for
a biblical
us to,
mandate for
to
us
take
to be engaged.
Widows and orphans,
and
right.
not just over there, but right here in Milton.
Correct. And so if there's a biblical mandate and there is a call for us as followers of Christ to do that, to look after orphans and widows, pure religion in its faultless and its purest state is to look after orphans and widows. I may have that backwards, widows and orphans, I believe, as it says. But then I have a responsibility, therefore, to do that.
Yeah.
Was the church, we have a responsibility to steward that message as well. So it's not just somebody's going to do this,
right.
point this out. Let's look at another ministry and
yeah.
champion that.
Right.
I have a responsibility
right.
to do it myself.
Right. Yeah, it's somebody else's problem. Sometimes maybe it's
somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And therefore we can maybe throw dollars at it.
Yeah.
Which we do that really well. A lot of times, you know, we'll throw some money at something.
Right.
But when it's about mobilizing the troops, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mobilizing God's people to move.
Yeah.
That's really where we see the church being the church.
Yeah.
And God's kingdom being brought here to do what it
yeah.
is
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit's really brought this movement of compassion and foster care ministry is really a practical way of living out the Christian faith. And in our own communities, in a really big way, we're finding government leaders, community leaders, and even philanthropists, people who want to make a difference, are really looking for real solutions. And we agree. You and I have known each other for a while now. I've talked quite often about this topic. And you and I agree the church is the solution because of the mandate you mentioned further. We're seeing now with Faith Bridge and other organizations, we're seeing the church being mobilized around the country. What are some of the barriers that you think, as we continue to see this movement get traction in local churches, what are you seeing, and what do you think some of the challenges are ahead that we need to be thinking and praying about as thought leaders and as church leaders?
Well, I think first and foremost, one of the barriers is going to be, how we communicate to our people.
Right.
The urgency of the need, first of all.
Right.
That it's not seen, I think, as you and I spoke earlier, that it's not seen as a program,
mm-hmm.
that it is, in fact, a biblical mandate to look after orphans and widows. That is an ongoing thing. That should be part of our DNA.
Yeah.
So that as people begin to understand that it's not just another thing that I can go do, but it is who I am.
Mm.
And there's a distinct difference in that. I think sometimes we can bounce from program to program, study to study, and never really have our roots,
yeah,
or never really take root in what it is we're
right.
supposed to be about.
Right.
We are to be about this.
Yeah,
the church is to be about this, and it's not. I don't see it as an option.
Mm.
I see it as this is a responsibility, and so the way we communicate is first and foremost, and that people understand that this is a responsibility for mm-hmm. us to act.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that we begin it's important for us as individuals, as a pastor, I have to take responsibility.
Right.
So if I'm going to communicate, it's kind of one of these, I don't want to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself.
Got to lead by example.
I want to lead by example.
Yeah.
Which is kind of my story, and I can get into that a little bit. But
yeah.
If I'm not willing to do it myself, it's hard for me to communicate. How real is it if I just say this is something out there for people to do?
Great
so we
point.
Have to begin to lead by example.
Great point. You know, when you talk about leading by example, Ryan, I know that you've been very personally engaged in foster care adoption. And as we think about, you mentioned earlier, James 1:27, pure religion is undefiled, is to take care of the widow and the orphans. And that really is not the end of that verse. It goes on to say it really has a lot to do about us, not just the children and the widows. It says so that we might be purified and not be commingling with the world. You know, it's about purification.
Right.
It's about our own heart being purified before the Lord in obedience and surrender. And I do know that's your personal story about hearing the call. I still remember when I first met you. It was at another church. We were doing an event there, and you and your wife were at one of the front tables. And during one of the breaks, we had a conversation about foster care and adoption. Would you tell us a little bit about how this went from thought leadership to DNA to mandate of the church to, hey, this is my story, mm-hmm. and it's now part of my DNA as a family?
Yeah. Yeah, it really started with my wife. My wife had a heart for adoption early on, and I always thought that, yes, that is a great thought. I will support you in that thought.
That's a good idea,
honey. That's a good idea. But there were times along the way where she was reading books and handing me passages and handing me books to read and listen to this podcast, watch this. And over time, the conversation shifted from, I think this is something we could do, to I think this is something we should do.
Right.
From her. Uh-huh. Now, I was still sitting on the fence. And I go back to a funeral that I went to. It was her grandfather passed away, and he and his wife, her grandmother, had influence with children. Mm-hmm. They didn't specifically foster, but they had several children that they took into their home and just
right.
loved on and really.
That's community fostering instead of state government fostering.
Correct. They did it because they loved these children.
They loved children, and they were part of their community, and children aren't ignored.
And they spoke at the funeral. They didn't speak in front of people, but there were words shared in such a way that you knew that the impact that they had on their life was eternal.
Yeah.
And so that there was a seed planted there. And I on the way home from that funeral, I told my wife, I said, I think there's something for us here. And I was driving. So had she been driving, she probably would have driven off the side of the road. So fast forward a little bit to the orientation. We had some friends that went through and said, hey, there's this thing going on. You may want to check it out. At that point, I really just went to appease her. I said, okay, fine. I'll go to this.
I love your honesty.
I'll go to this and we'll you know, be done with this. So I go and I listen to your story and to the statistics that are shared about how many children in foster care and what is the church's opportunity?
Yeah.
Even beyond responsibility, what is the church's opportunity to help these children? And God really just sparked. He just kind of relit that fire that he'd lit a couple of years previous and spoke directly to me and said, there is something for you.
Mm.
Now, in there being something for me, I realized there was probably also something for Stone Creek and for our church and for their to be something that we could bring here. I didn't know what that looked like at that point in time.
Right.
I didn't know
right.
on what scale. And so for us, it was really that just began the journey of, okay, let's start this thing and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Went to orientation, got impact trained.
Right, right.
And now we have two children that we had in foster care for a few months and we just adopted back in December.
Yeah. And we're continuing to see a conversation continuing to merge here at Stone Creek, attended a men's dad's man up group this morning here about foster dads coming together for encouragement around marriage and around leadership in the home, and you're leading that group. And so there's a robust conversation among men here at Stone Creek that this is our opportunity. It's our opportunity to lead our families, to love our wives like Christ loves the church, and to be the example in our local church so that our community's foster kids can find a safe place to call home. Stone Creek is a great example of a church that's awakening and finding its place in this mission. And you're a big part of that. And I just wanted to thank you today for what you're doing here, for what you're doing for other men who are fostering and adopting, and what God will continue to do through you here at Stone Creek. Would you just, as we wrap today, folks that will be listening to this podcast particularly will be other thought leaders, pastors, influencers in our community, state leaders, county directors with Child Protective Services, and even maybe investors, people that might realize that, you know, they're looking for something that matters to invest in their giving, leaders giving their time and thought to helping raise awareness. What would you say to a group of influential leaders, people that can rally to make a difference? What would you say to them to help them continue in this journey?
This issue is really about God's heart. He is for the children. So it's important that we as followers of Christ are for the things that God is for.
Mm.
It's not a secondary issue. It's not a behind the scenes issue. It's not a governmental issue. Mm-hmm. It does have impact in government, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's really it's a matter that God has a heart for.
Mm.
If He is a restorer, a rebuilder, a repairer, one who brings life, then this is an issue that we want to grab onto.
Mm.
And more than just grab onto it as a like I said before, a program or something that we just kind of manage over here on the side, it's something that we own. I believe that as influencers, pastors, leaders, investors all can see this is something that we have an opportunity here to not just make a difference, but to completely, radically change the way the system works.
Yeah.
Work it and make it better.
Yeah.
And make it and completely wholesale change the way that it's viewed.
Mm.
Government then becomes maybe a support instead of the structure in which it exists.
Absolutely.
The church becomes the support.
Yeah.
And the people of God's people are the ones who run with it and own it and make it work. And so I think if we can persevere and see beyond just today or even a year from now, we can see down the road 10, 15, 20 years from now what impact the church can have for God's kingdom, for His glory. I know that we have an opportunity that is great.
Well, so if God is for it, how can we not be right in the middle of it?
Right.
And Scripture is very clear on that. Well, Ryan, thank you for your life. It's very consistent with your message. And thank you for a great church here, Stone Creek, that is very much a part of this conversation and engaged and caring. And I do believe that in my lifetime, what you just cast is a vision for a different way of caring for children in need. It's not the government's job. It's ours. And I believe in my lifetime, what you've just described, you and I will get to behold that. So thanks for your leadership, thanks for your influence, and thanks for your friendship. And I look forward to talking to you again at some time, get a chance to come back. So
thanks, Bill. Thanks for what you do, for leading this out, and for your vision and your passion. It was you sitting in this room a little while ago sharing your story that moved us to a point of there is something for us to do as a church. And so just continue to stay strong and continue to do what you're doing. And I appreciate you.
I receive that. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you for your compassionate service to foster children. Faithbridge is here to serve you. If we can support you in any way, please contact our team. It is our desire to help you succeed in all that God has called you and your family to be, to children who desperately need you.